You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Love it. Well, hey, we're 9:06, so I think we'll get started here. Thanks everyone for joining 1 Million Cups Appleton. We're a weekly, when we can be, celebration of entrepreneurship every week. And this week we have a guest from Tampa, which we're really excited to learn more about, benefits of this virtual format. So we have Johnny from Cope Notes, super excited. Thanks so much for being here today, Johnny. The floor is yours. Please take it from here.
Sure thing. Thank you a ton. I'm going to do a screen share. Can you do a quick backflip or something and let me know if you're seeing the screen okay?
Yeah, or a backflip. Yes, a verbal backflip happening okay. Right now.
Awesome. So before I jump into the presentation part, I did want to let everybody know why I'm working in mental health in the first place. So the short version, because we're supposed to have 6 minutes, is I grew up in an abusive household with a bunch of different mental health diagnoses, and I was in and out of treatment for my entire life. So I went to school for psychology because how could you not? And then I started doing peer support and public advocacy back in 2011. So this is 10 years ago. And really, I never expected to run a technology company. I just expected to work in psychology and mental health in some way. It just happened to manifest as a technology company. So I am a non-technical founder, but I will do my best to answer your technical questions. And like every entrepreneur you've ever seen present or met, I wanted to create a solution to a problem that I was experiencing firsthand. So while I was in and out of treatment, I was really frustrated with a lot of resources I used, and I'll kind of get into that. But if you need to explain Cope Notes to somebody in just a few words, you can say that Cope Notes provides daily mental health support, and someone's going to ask, how do they do that? And you can say, via text message. So that is our very quick descriptor, but of course, I'll elaborate. Really, the problem that we're facing is that the current mental health model is broken. That is new to nobody. But how it's broken is new to a lot of people. So people like me in the center were concerned about accessibility, privacy, cost, social stigma. Like, I have a big long list of reasons why I wouldn't use your mental health resource if you're trying to sell me something. And then by the time I do work up the courage to reach out to a provider says, we are really underfunded and understaffed right now, so we can't really get to you. But if you wait in line, maybe in a few months, we can whittle our list down and help you. But in the meantime, why don't you just use a crisis resource, even though you're not in crisis right now? And then as a result, we make our wait list for a crisis resource really long because we're stuffing people who aren't in crisis in front of people who are. And then communities need to react to crises rather than prevent them in the first place. So our focus is on prevention and intervention for all of the reasons I just described and a million that I don't have time to outline, but during Q&A, we can talk more. A lot of people ask me, where can I download it? How come I don't see it on an app store? It's because it's not an app. We chose SMS as a medium on purpose. Not only because there are no downloads, no passwords to remember, no software updates, you don't have to share personal data with the app store. All of those benefits aside, there are three main reasons why we chose SMS as a medium: engagement, preference, and health equity. So the first one, engagement, some of you guys might not know this, it blew my mind when I first heard it. 1.7% open rate for iOS app notifications. So that's less than 1 in 50 people actually open those. Android is somehow better, but it's still 1 in 25 people are opening an Android app notification, whereas SMS boasts a 99% open rate and a 98% read rate, which means that they're not just opening them, they are reading the words inside of the messages. That's not just for Cope Notes, that's for SMS as a medium. And then a lot of folks say, well, that's great for youth, but what about adults? And I say, you're wrong. 97% of American adults prefer texting to any other medium. So it is just the most popular preferred method of communication in the modern era. Plus, The equity component is really important to me. 11% of the US population doesn't have access to a smartphone. They use non-smart cellular devices. And as a result, there are a lot of great apps out there, but if 36 million Americans cannot access those apps, then whatever you built really isn't reaching its full potential. So in our mind, we wanted to serve the largest audience possible and make sure that a smartphone was not required to engage with a digital health support. The solution, so specifically to Cope Notes, and I'm breezing through this to keep with 6 minutes, but all of the messages that we send are written by peers with lived experience. So we have that peer support component. It's not a clinician writing, you know, wagging their finger saying, here's what you should be doing. It's a peer who has been there and experienced that, sharing what they wish someone would have said to them when they were going through what they went through. So all of the messages are really empathetic and casual, conversational, easy to understand. And then they are reviewed by a clinical oversight panel. So these are mental health professionals that ensure that all of the messages are, you know, based on proven psychological principles, that they're trauma informed, basically making sure that everything we do is legit. And then these messages, after they're written by peers and reviewed by clinicians, they are delivered at random times. And this is not a mass text that goes out to a whole list at once. No two people ever get the same Cope Notes text message at the same time. They are completely differentiated. Everyone has their own unique text sequence with Cope Notes, which is really cool. And then we actually encourage our subscribers to journal back and speak freely, to say whatever they want, whenever they want. And they can do that and improve their emotional IQ, improve their emotional independence, the accuracy of their self-report. And they can do that and say whatever they want, whenever they want, and be honest, because they know that it's 100% anonymous and confidential, which means that right now, all four of you guys could sign up and I would have no idea that you did. We don't even collect names. So I virtually, when I meet a subscriber out in the wild and they tell me they're using it, I'm like, wow, I didn't know that, because I never get to know. I am really excited about this page. I will do my best not to soapbox it, but I did go to school for psych, and this is my favorite topic. I actually gave a TED talk about the neuroscience behind this slide, so forgive me if I go on too long or get passionate. Basically, your brain is always trying to conserve calories. So if there are two thoughts that it's trying to decide between, but one thought requires less calories, it's easier to think, your brain will always choose that thought out of habit. That's how hot thought habits and patterns are formed. And the only way that we can interrupt those patterns and challenge them is by actually literally delivering an interruption. So Cope Notes is built on the neuroscience principle, ecological momentary intervention, or EMI. And basically, that's a fancy way of saying you can derail a negative thought train, but it has to be with a catalyst for positive thought. So it's exactly what we're doing. We're just using text messages as a medium. And over time, your brain learns to think in healthier patterns and employ those newly learned coping skills and resilience strategies, and they start to feel natural. But this is a process that takes a really long time. It often takes months and months. And the problem is human beings aren't really consistent. So this guarantees a consistent interruption every single day for as long as you're subscribed, to make sure that your brain has an opportunity to adapt. Who we serve? We have three different tiers of subscriptions. So we started out just doing B2C. So just personal subscriptions for people like you and me to go on there and sign up. And then we branched out after a few people made requests to offer gift subscriptions. So you could buy one for your daughter, for example, or then those people started requesting family subscriptions. So we built a family plan, kind of like a phone plan. And then we started getting a lot of requests for enterprise. So now actually 80% of our revenue comes from enterprise clients. So these are schools and businesses. We just started serving government last year, and that's a pretty big vertical for us now somehow. I never saw it coming. But our true north for pricing was we always wanted to make a full year of daily support through Cope Notes cost less than one therapy session. So some of the more popular digital health solutions out there that you might have heard of before will charge $260 a month, $300 a month, $400 a month, and Coke Notes is right around $10 a month. So we are an order of magnitude more affordable, which allows us to serve huge communities that these more expensive tools just can't. And this is kind of the last page I'll share with you guys, just in the interest of time. There are testimonials there. I won't read them to you because we're on a tight timeline, but on our website, if you go to CokeNotes.com, in the main navigation, there's a reviews tab. Hit that if you want to read through the changes that we've made in people's lives, but really, really moving stories in there. And this is the statistic that I always use as my like mic drop, the end of the presentation kind of mic drop. And it's, you know, we collect feedback from, we have 21,000 users roughly. So we collect feedback from these folks all the time via text or through feedback forms. And we have learned that 86, and this is after thousands of people have responded. So this is not a really tiny little group that we tried to skew data. This is thousands and thousands of respondents. 86% of users reported improved mental and emotional health within 30 days. So while it is cool and easy to use, it also works, which is like the main point of building anything. And then I should probably actually stop there, but I'll just leave this slide up, which has contact information, while we do Q&A.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for your presentation, Johnny. It's super interesting. And actually, I'm a huge fan. I love it. You answered one of my questions. I'm assuming that like what is your cost structure? It's like monthly subscription or annual, like both options, and like what is the actual cost? I don't know if you actually mentioned it.
So the cost or the
price. If I was going to subscribe for myself today, like
what? Yeah, it's based on your preferences. So like there are a few different options that you can choose. Like there's a discount for annual. An annual term, but there's also a premium option where you get two texts per day. So that's why we say right around 10 bucks a month, because your options will change that incrementally, like by a couple bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool. And then like, what is it like, I know you said that no two people will get the same text at the same time, but like, what kind of specifications can you guys do? Because obviously when I think about mental health, like, you know, everyone's in a different place, right? And you know, might be going through different things. Like, do you guys have any customizations, or like, is there an assessment that people take ahead of time that kind of cue them up things that, you know, might be, you know, appropriate for what they're going through personally? Or is it kind of generic right now? I'm also curious to know about your future plans, if anything on that, I guess. Yeah. Does my question make sense? Kind of cloudy, but.
Oh, 100%. So when I started Coke Notes, I wanted it to be, you know, super customizable, and you fill out a questionnaire. And that was like the original plan, making different tracks of messaging. And we found that not only did that really decrease opt-in because there was like a bunch of hoops to jump through, but yeah, also, like statistically, just from like a research standpoint, there's not like a statistically significant difference in efficacy, whether you tailor it exactly to what someone wants or whether it's just a library of content that clinicians and peers have deemed to be applicable across demographic. But the fact is, people don't want to hear that. Like, I've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now. And every time I tell people like the data doesn't support that customizing it makes it any more effective, almost invariably people are like, I don't care. I want to customize it. So we are building, we're actually in data collection right now for a study with USF in Tampa, where they're making sure that the efficacy for the customized version is at least on par with the randomized version. And if it is, if it's as effective or more, we're going to roll it out. And it would basically allow you to select focus areas. So if you're like, I really want to focus on interpersonal relationships, burnout and stress, and then body image. Like those are the things that are really my focus areas right now. You can like basically toggle them on and off and choose different focus areas. So I tried my best to use data and science and numbers to tell people that it wasn't important. And they, but ultimately the greatest lesson of entrepreneurship is the market will tell you what they find important. And at the end of the day, they didn't find the data important. They found their personal preferences to be important. So if the data shows that it's as effective, then we're going to roll it out.
Super interesting. Yeah. It doesn't really surprise me that random would be like just as effective as like catered, but
the way I've explained it before is it's kind of like saying, do you make a multivitamin for people who like dogs? Cause I'm a dog person and I want to make sure I have a multivitamin that is for me. And at the end of the day, that's not really necessary, but people want it. And if it's just as effective as a regular multivitamin, then, you know.
Yeah. I'll ask one more question and then I'm going to stop so that the crowd can, but have you thought about any ways that you could, you know, like obviously you're in business, so you want to make money, but have you thought of any ways to bring the price out of the picture? You know, like, I don't exactly know, but I'm curious, like, cause you talk about like apps not being accessible to people, but I would imagine that the mass, you know, percentage of those people that don't use a smartphone probably also don't afford whatever your cost is, you know? So have you thought about like, cause it kind of feels like you have like this mission behind your company, which is amazing. And maybe that's not, I don't want to assume that, I guess, but, you know, like, yeah. What's your thoughts there? What have you? Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. You're not assuming anything. Mission is like, it's the whole reason I'm doing this. And when I started Cope Notes, actually, there was a beta version called Not a Therapist. And it was a peer support resource that was completely free, multi-channel. And we just imploded because we didn't have any money. I just realized very quick, I mean, in like 8 months, I was like, there's no way I can do this for free. So we knew we had to make a paid version, but we did run into that. We were like, well, how do we serve like foster youth and the homeless population and these folks that are traditionally underserved? So that's actually where the enterprise vertical came from. Was, you know, how can we contract as a service provider with a government who has health and human services budget, or with an employer who has employee wellness budget, or with an insurance provider, you know, these multi-billion dollar businesses that can shave off a few bucks ahead to provide the support so that individuals can be insulated from the cost. So that's exactly what we've been doing for enterprises. We connect with these nonprofits who will either use their services budget to pay for Cope Notes so that the individuals they serve can use it for free, or they will apply for a grant and use the grant funding. So either way, the end user is completely insulated from cost of use.
How does like the, I'll ask you later. Next question. I could go on forever. This is a really cool company. But yeah, Eric, do you have a question?
I can ask a question. You had talked about before with that, you know, somebody can respond back to this service, can freely talk back to it. But it also sounds to me like this is kind of a fixed, where you're going to get a fixed message like twice a day or something like that. So what is happening when you respond back to it? I assume it's not responding to you at all, or it's just kind of a way to like maybe vent or whatever.
Yeah. So I'll try to keep my answer short. But the reason why every therapist in the world will tell you to journal is because you saying it is more important than you receiving a response. So when you journal, your journal doesn't validate you. It doesn't give you a cookie for sharing. It doesn't pat you on the back, but it also doesn't judge you. It doesn't look at you funny. It doesn't take a long time to respond and you get in your head about what the journal might be thinking. So that actually fosters something called emotional independence. And we do explain this, like the first time you text back, we deliver an automated text message like, whoa, you just journaled for the first time. believe it or not, or remember, we don't actually respond when you journal. And here's why. It's actually healthier for your brain that way. And there's a little description. So we make it very clear to people, when you journal, this is your safe space. It's not a real-time conversation. And that actually allows people to tell more truth, because you would tell a journal or a voice note in your phone way more than you might tell a friend or a stranger.
Interesting. Does it somehow track like those responses, so you could actually have a physical journal in a way?
Yeah, so you can keep it in a, I mean, it's obviously in your text thread in your phone, so you can scroll back through whenever, but on the user dashboard that we're going to roll out actually in a few months here, there's going to be a text journal like part of the dashboard where you can click it and scroll back through your entire text history. You can export a PDF. There's like some pretty cool functionality there too.
Cool. Oh, okay. And it sounds like we got a question on Facebook. Are there other SMS based services like this in other industries? Any examples you are aware of?
Well, to be 100% honest, I don't know a lot about SMS outside of, I mean, I've been really focused on health. So I'm like really, really good at SMS in my little niche. I am sure that there are like, you know, personal coaches that do like, you know, Gary V or something, like, I'll send you a text a day. It's like, get out of bed and go crush the day or whatever. I'm sure there's stuff like that. We're much more on like the making sure that our content is like psychologically valid and stuff. In as far as other industries, I think that one of the coolest opportunities for Cope Notes to grow, and this is not like a 3-year plan, this is like in the distant future, I see there being an opportunity to use an intervention like Cope Notes for things like education or physical health. So I'm excited about the growth opportunities there. I don't know a ton about SMS in other industries, and I wish I had a better answer, but I try to really stay focused on what we do.
Can you kind of build on that? Like, what do you mean by how would you utilize it for education?
Well, one idea that I had, and this is extremely, this is like quarter baked. This is not half baked. This is quarter baked. One idea that I had was, you know, if you're in college and you are cramming for an end of year, some kind of final, and you could have some kind of like basic goal. It's kind of like a drip campaign intervention of like things you have to internalize, because the whole principle behind an EMI is it interrupts whatever you're thinking and supplants a catalyst for a different thought. So what an incredible way to learn and internalize information into your subconscious. Like, this is going to be a terrible example, but imagine you're in college and you are grocery shopping and you get a text about Shakespeare and you're like, oh shoot, I forgot that. Very interesting. And that type of intervention over the course of several months helps your brain internalize that information. There's so many different applications for that. I would just need to at least half bake the idea to give more shape to it.
I actually really like that. That sounds would like it would work phenomenal too. So Andrew, do you want to, seeing as nobody else seems to be volunteering questions, you want to ask your question again?
No, I'm sure that, did anyone else have any questions? I'll wait to see if a microphone comes on. Oh, James. Oh, I think James beat Leroy. So I was going to say, there's definitely more questions in this crowd. Come on.
Well, so as someone who's in the education space, I think that is like an interesting idea that you're discussing or like exploring there. Because I would imagine that with like educational philosophy, having that interruption, even if it's around like core things that then you attach all the other information to in your brain as you then learn it or like engage more, you know, directly. Cause like, I'm not going to learn, you know, super nuanced detailed things probably from a text message, but like I could easily internalize big ideas that now I have in my head to attach new information to in a way that I think would be super beneficial and interesting. So anyway, I could talk about that for a long time. But I'm interested, like, so I know you have a couple different like verticals. Could you talk a little bit more about like how you actually acquire customers you know, in those different verticals, you know, like what does that look like? Because I'd imagine that selling to a government agency versus, you know, a for-profit business versus a family versus even an individual are all quite different sales cycles. So I'd love to just kind of like know, how do you acquire customers? Maybe what's your cost? Is there places you're, you know, strategically betting to spend more time and energy on for any reason, stuff like that?
Yeah. So the go-to-market conversation is why I'm returning to 1 million cups. So I spent like a year and a half, like a typical 20 something thinking like, I got this covered now. I did 1 million cups for the first couple of years. Now I'll go crush it. And then as like COVID has forced these pivots, we have started like our primary strategic bet right now is with government. Our biggest contract we've ever signed, actually the contract that saved the company, because we almost went under last year due to COVID, the contract that saved the company was a government contract. And then the next two, our top three largest deals. Oh, what am I doing? Our top three largest deals. I'm not a technical founder, are all government. So we are, I'm pouring a lot of time into that. We actually have never done outbound sales before ever. So right now we just hired, we have two full cycle account executives, sales folks who started about 6 weeks ago, and they're actually starting outbound this week. So it's gonna be our first outbound experience ever, but primarily on the B2C and the enterprise side, a lot of our interest has come from press because we've done very well organically, like word of mouth, people just thinking it's a cool idea and telling their local news station, and then a local news story getting syndicated or something. So it's been lots of that. That's been really helpful for getting the word out because we're bootstrapped. So we don't have like a ton of money to throw at advertising and marketing. But the other thing is my career has been in mental health advocacy. So I have been speaking at events and conferences, sort of like, I'm going to use quotes, but like a thought leader in the mental health space. So I do a lot of like podcasts and press and keynotes. Like I travel to speak at conferences, and I primarily speak about mental health and social stigma, sexual consent, sobriety, a lot of topics that are related to Cope Notes, but I don't like go and peddle my wares. But more recently, when I speak at these conferences, they'll say you can come set up a table. So I'm seeing some overlap there, but I don't want to rely on that as like our only channel of awareness, which is why we're starting to invest in outbound now.
Super cool. Leroy, do you still have a question?
I was just doing some quick research on the website. So I like the, so I'm in sales. So I've got plenty of negative thoughts every day. You know, what am I going to walk into? Who's going to, you know, what are the conversations I'm going to have? So I really have to stay positive to get through what I do. So this text from the normal day-to-day lift, text shows up in the morning and kind of disrupts all the garbage that's going on in my head and lets me think about something else, or is it throughout the day? How does that look?
So the coolest, one of the coolest parts of Cope Notes is you never know when we will text you or what we will say. So we use artificial randomization to run our text scheduler. So we're sending thousands of messages every day to people all over the world. But I don't know when those text messages will be delivered because we built an algorithm that will determine, like, if it was true random, you might get two morning texts in a row or three or four, and you might start to expect them. That's called habituation, is when your brain starts tuning out information because it expects it. So in order to make sure that the delivery of the text messages always feels random, we use artificial randomization. So but our window, our primary text window is 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock p.m., I think, local time, so wherever you live. But you can go into your account dashboard and change that. So like if you work nights, you can change that. Or if you're like, don't text me when I'm with my kids, you know, you can change that as well.
I like it.
Super cool. How long have you been a company, Johnny? I forget if you said that earlier.
I ran Not a Therapist was the beta version, the free version. I ran that for about less than a year, actually. So that was primarily 2017. And then Cope Notes, under the name Cope Notes, launched. We sent our first text message March 1st, 2018. So we're about 3.5 years in revenue. But if I'm being honest, which I should be, the first 2 years were like not enough revenue to function. So it's like very low revenue, mostly just building. And then last year was our first year where we actually made enough money to like be a company. Cool. So I still feel very new to it, even though we've technically been a company for a while.
Yeah, sweet. I mean, that's the startup journey, right? Super cool. My question that I was going to ask earlier is like, how do services like the, and it actually came to mind recently because of all the cell phone changes that are going on right now, but like the suicide prevention hotline, like, is that a government funded or ran organization? Like, I could see your tool almost, you know, being, you know, like if you could find a way. I mean, obviously it's a free tool. You can call them anytime. You're going to talk to someone. I'm sure it's one of those crisis things that, you know, you're familiar with, but like, have you looked into how they that came about? And like, you know, is there any potential there, like to follow a similar path?
Yeah. So this is, first of all, let me go back. We actually work with, here, so it's not blurry. You see at the bottom, you'll see Crisis Center in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of our first contracts. It wasn't a huge contract, but it did help us recognize the gap that we fill. So this is like 2019. And we talked about how basically the analogy that I use now is if you're turning to a crisis resource, you can picture that kind of like going to the dentist because your tooth hurts and you're like, I need to figure out what the heck is going on here. And then when you leave the dentist, they give you a toothbrush and floss and and it is their way of saying, I as a dentist cannot spend the next 6 months with you, but here's some stuff for you to kind of be your own little mini dentist in between before I see you again. And ultimately, that's the gap that I see Cope Notes filling is we are not a crisis resource. We will never compete with like, we have no interest in competing with like real therapy, like sitting down with a therapist for an hour. There's value there. We are the gap filler for in between. So my dream is to work with all of these different crisis resources, the crisis text line, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, all these big folks as a leave behind, because these big organizations can't reach out and touch base with these people every day. They can only accept inbound. So we want to be that outbound for them.
So and that makes sense. I definitely don't think, my question wasn't, you know, like, would you replace them? But like wondering, obviously those organizations are funded and provide services to people for free. Like, how do you guys, you know, is that a path to kind of look at, like, how did those come about? And could you follow a similar path? Like, is it through government funding, you know, some kind of bill or something? And maybe that's where you're heading already, but.
So the primary difference when I started, actually Not a Therapist was supposed to be a nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
And I used to serve on nonprofit boards I still do actually, like mental health nonprofit boards for years. And I asked all of these nonprofit organizations and nonprofit lawyers, I was like, did a little presentation. I'm like, here's what I think it's going to be. And in like every single person that I talked to about it said, I will tell you right now that if you are trying to build a tech company that is a nonprofit, you will never be able to pivot fast enough to survive. Like with all of like the formal voting and turning stuff into the IRS and all these processes, they're like, if you're touching people every single day with your product, and you need to make a change, but you can't make that change for 4 months because you didn't get board approval and you didn't meet in person, it's going to kill your company. So we chose to become a for-profit in part because of that. To my knowledge, all of the folks that you're talking about are nonprofits and have been largely funded through grants, to my knowledge.
Yeah, so then maybe like you said, being a service that they buy, you know, is maybe, you know, better approach. But yeah, that's super interesting. Any other questions for Johnny today from the crowd here?
I'm going to throw one more plug out there. Veteran suicide is a huge thing. Hopefully at some point you'll reach out to the VA. I think there are a lot of issues there with how they do treatment. Most of the time it's, hey, here are your 12 sessions. Here's some things to work on. And then good luck after that 12, give us a call if you need anything. I think your service offers, you know, the repetition and the break in those habits that come after, you know, if the 12 sessions didn't help you get out of whatever funk you were in. So I just lob that up as a part of the veteran community. I think that this is a great resource that would be neat to have out there for veterans and to hopefully help with the veteran suicide issues.
We have had so many like false starts with the VA. Like we think we find the right person and then we get a little bit up the chain and they're like, I literally don't know who to take you to after that. So if you can find like the queen bee, like the person who is in charge and can actually make a decision, we've been trying, I'm not exaggerating, for 3 years since 2018. And we're working with the, right now, God willing, we're going to close a pilot contract with the LGBTQ program at the VA for like a very small, I think it's like 100 subscriptions or 200 subscriptions or something. But it would be like a small test pilot to see how it goes. But that would be our first contract with the VA proper, which would be great. But that is also being held up by bureaucracy and red tape. So we're always looking for like a new way in, because one of these times we're going to knock on the right door, you know? So if you know anybody or any organizations that we should be connected with, please let me know. It's been really tough to get in there. It's like a fortress.
It is. And that's part of the problem with it. I think what you're doing is the right track. And then you need those internal people to start talking and they will get you, or they will push from the inside to say, hey, this needs to happen. So good luck. I appreciate that you're reaching out, you know, through that group.
I, on that note, will also just say, I have a friend from college who is a veteran and has started a nonprofit called Operation Heal Our Heroes, or HOH, that focuses on that. So if you want to look at their website or reach out, maybe like going through, you know, vet run organizations that are dedicated to that, that likely then have their own internal connections to the VA, might also be another, you know, way to go. So in case that's helpful, you know, I'm happy to, I'll send your information or your website to him so he knows, but if you want to also try to reach out directly or let me know if I can be helpful in any way, I'd be happy to try to see if there's anything there.
Please. That's the approach we've had to take, is like, if we can't get to the VA proper, then we're going to serve veterans at the end of the day. So whether it's through the VA or whether it's through a community organization, like what really matters is the population, the community itself. So I'm happy to, we have a bunch of like community organizations that we work with directly. And I'm confident that one day those partnerships will reach a critical mass. And then those bigger players will be like, okay, fine, we'll give them a chance. But it takes years, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the challenge with government contracts, right? Like it's, you know, they might pay off at the end, but it's a long road often to get there, especially for big scale stuff. So,
yeah.
I put in the chat a link to the organization I was telling you about. And I think that my friend is like in the video interview on the page I linked to about their mission, but it's, I think, very aligned likely to what you're looking for.
That is awesome. Thank you a ton for sharing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I think, James, do you have something else?
I was going to say, I'll put my email there too, if like I can be a help in making any connections too. So I'll put it in the chat and then feel free to follow up with me if you want.
Thank you.
Well, awesome. Cool. Well, any other questions from the crowd? Otherwise, you can ask the final question, which is cool. So obviously, you've done 1 million cups before. The final question is always, you know, what can the community do for you?
Honestly, I think James made a great point and kind of like made me want to focus on that. If anyone on the call has an idea of who we should be connecting with, like the toughest part, like I said, has been our go-to-market, because we have had to pivot so many times. So now we're in a position, like, obviously we can use Cope Notes across verticals like education or corporate or nonprofit, wherever, but any feedback that you guys have around, like, I can't believe you're not working with senior connection centers or whatever. Those kind of like things that are really obvious to you when you hear my idea are not obvious to me at all, because my perspective is different. So please leverage that perspective, whatever you're like doing this over. Please, like, our contact info is there, our website is there. Please show me what I don't see, the opportunities to serve that we're not identifying. That would be the most helpful thing that you could do, is share this with someone or make an email intro to someone that I should have already met by now.
Super cool. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much for spending a little bit of your morning here with us, Johnny. It was a pleasure to have you. And definitely we'll keep you in mind here. Love the business and love the work you guys are doing. So thank you. And thanks to everyone for coming to 1 Million Cups Appleton. Not sure if we have an event lined up for next week, but check the website. Yeah, appreciate everyone coming and spending a little bit of time with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Awesome. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.